ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And a very, very good Friday morning to you, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Athus sitting in the driver's seat today, flying solo. Aaron Calc, he is out. Skinny is on his way, or I believe already there, over in Tulsa area, T-Town, where he's going to be teeing up, playing some golf today, and then tomorrow he's going to be hitting up the PGA. And I'm anxious to hear, get a full report from him on Monday morning of his experience over there at the PGA Championship over there at Southern Hills. And that would be the lead for this show. We'll talk about the PGA, how it looked yesterday, how what the players, what the leaderboard looks like, and get some reaction from a couple of players, namely Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods. One playing really good golf, the other one a little bit of a disappointing round and struggling, might struggle today to make the cut. So we will get some sound from them and talk about the PGA coming up. Also, man, yesterday was fun in college football, wasn't it? What a day, what a historic day of college football. Did you think I'd ever say that in the month of May? Yeah. Well, that's what you get when you get into the SEC and a couple of coaches feuding. We got more reaction of the Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban fiasco that went down yesterday. Will there be any more of it? Will it start the change now that the king of college football has verbally and very, very vocally have said that he does not like the current NIL format? And, of course, we got the sound from Jimbo Fisher and his reaction too. And I think, you know, yesterday my stance on it was one way. Now, after looking at some numbers and some people kind of bringing some facts to light, at least to me anyways, personally, my stance may have changed a little bit. I'll tell you why coming up. Also, some interesting games are happening in college football on a particular date, and I'll tell you what date that is coming up in a few minutes or a little later in the show. What else do I got on tap? I was scrambling to get ready for today because, one, I was trying to find a co-host, but everyone's busy. I get it. It's kind of last minute. And two, I was trying to find content, and I believe I have done so. So we will get all of that on for you. A little bit later. What else we got? Looking at my notes here. College baseball. Man, what's going on with Oklahoma State? On a current shocking losing streak, losing again yesterday, and they are dropping in the Big 12 standings. OU, on the other hand, might be on their way up a little bit in the Big 12 standings, positioning themselves for the Big 12 tournament, getting a good seed. Can they continue their hot streak? So we will find out. Let's see, what else I got? Softball starts today. I'm so used to saying that. Just regional. Regional softball starts today. And, of course, OU and OSU hosting regions. Should be a great atmosphere of both Norman and Stillwater. They start tonight. Kind of look at that, look at their schedule. What can we expect this weekend as they try to punch their ticket back to the World Series, the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City, and are they on a collision course to meet again for a championship in Oklahoma City? Of course, they met last Saturday for the Big 12 title. OSU won that one. What's going on with OU and Jordy Ball? Will the pitching hold up? Is she going to be 100%? She's still kind of day-to-day. So very interesting developments right there for the defending champs. And then you got OSU, who is coming up playing the best softball, I think, of the season for them personally right now, which is awesome. And again, was last Saturday just the appetizer to the main course that could be coming up in Oklahoma City? So that's what we got on tap. You got anything else you want to talk about? You know how to do it. Text me 580-225-9698. Text me and tell me what you're thinking. And I'd love to get some content from you guys because it, I got some weird text already that has nothing to do with us. But anyways, 580-225-9698. 9898. Chime in. Tell us what you thought about yesterday's PGA action over in Tulsa. What do you think about the Jimbo versus Nick Saban fiasco? I love calling it that. It just seems so crazy. But would you expect anything less from a couple of coaches like that coming out of the SEC? I wouldn't. And it's great popcorn material for me personally to see that happen. And also don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook. We have a Skinny on Sports Facebook page. We put mostly our replay of the show on there, and that's where you can get alerted where you can find our show, a replay of our show. As we do our replay of the show in podcast form, follow us on iTunes, and you can get alerts on your phone for that. Make sure all your alerts are turned on. And when that's ready to go, it'll alert you and tell you, hey, the podcast is ready. And also, don't forget to download the Paragon app. You can get everything on the Paragon app, everything. We're talking great country music on KUCO. Great hits, classic rock and hits from Cool 94. You get sports talk right here on KADS. You can get linked to the Penny News. You can get linked to Paragon TV. Yeah, I know we're not playing any sports right now. Officially, I think everybody is out of school right now. But you know what the glorious thing about Paragon TV is? You can go and relive some awesome games because there's an archive section for all of those schools. You can go back and remember when Johnny hit the game-winning shot against that other team in that tournament. You can go back and watch that from this past season, maybe in some seasons before that. Very cool stuff right there on Paragon TV. And as we approach the long months of summer, that's going to be fun to, you know, maybe pop on every once in a while and relive some fun memories. So again, Paragon app, download that for free. Well, where do we begin? I think we should start in Tulsa at the PGA Championship, where the second round has already gotten underway. And at one point we had a tie for the top spot, but it's been given back. But the leader right now, Rory McIlroy, 5-under yesterday through 18, his first round. Leading everybody behind him, we got three tied for fourth. Justin Thomas, who is underway, he momentarily had got it to 5-under, gave it back. Will Zalatoris hasn't started yet, 4-under. And let's see here, Joaquin Neiman at 3-under, Matt Kuchar at 3-under. And we'll look at some local players and when they play or how they're doing coming up in just a little bit. But I want to focus on Rory, 5-under. Now, I thought I was a little crazy when I said I thought the winner of this thing could possibly get to 20-under total in four rounds. And if Rory is any indication of that, he would make me look really smart if he can continue this hot play that he started yesterday. But usually you can see some guys when they have a lead going into Sunday. One, they go into the Sunday and they just hold on to the lead. And you have some guys behind him making furious runs at him. Or two, it's not unheard of, but it's hard to see a guy who leads after day one to go wire to wire. But Rory definitely is a guy that is very capable of that. He's had struggles at tournaments like this. I love to see how he responds today. A little breezy out there in Tulsa like it is right here. Cooler than usual, too. So we'll see how golfers adjust to today's playing conditions, as, again, some have already started off in the early flights. He doesn't start till 1:36, and namely, a lot of the big players don't start until 1:36. But let's hear from Rory. First off, just getting some of his post-round comments. Again, a 5-under yesterday. He'll sum up his round right here. Let's make sure I got all the buttons pushed right.
It was a great start to the tournament. You know, I've been playing well coming in here. You know, I've been carrying some good form. Obviously, that took a lot from that last round at Augusta. Played well up in D.C. at the Wells Fargo there. So I'm playing good in the practice rounds earlier this week. So I think when your game's feeling like that, it's just a matter of going out there and really, you know, sticking to your game plan, executing as well as you possibly can, and just sort of staying in your own little world. And, you know, I did that really well today. It was nice to get off to that good start and sort of keep it going. You know, I feel like this course, it lets you be pretty aggressive off the tee if you want to be. So I hit quite a lot of drivers out there and took advantage of my length and, you know, finished that off with some nice iron play and some nice putting.
Again, Rory McIlroy leading right now with a 5-under at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills. Someone asked him about playing with Tiger. Of course, he was paired with Tiger and Spieth, I believe, and the other person escapes me. But asking about you know, playing with the super group, how was that yesterday? And you know, to me, I'll let you hear what Rory says, and then I'll give my thoughts.
Yeah, I think the nice thing around, you know, like, for example, it's different playing with him here than it is, say, at Eastlake, because Eastlake feels so claustrophobic. The crowds are so much more on top of you. Here, it's big, wide corridors. I feel like there's a lot of room. So it just it doesn't feel as oppressive as some other venues. So it's sort of nice that... I mean, I was looking forward to the draw anyway. I mean, it's always a cool group to be a part of. But I think this golf course, just with how it's been opened up, it doesn't feel quite as, you know, quite as boisterous as it usually does.
Of course, he's talking about different places where he just said it. You know, the crowds can be on top of you. It means you're closer to who you're pairing with based on how where you shot it. And, you know, there's more of that factor into it. But here at Southern Hills, like you said, more wider. I mean, the fairways are really wide. There's some space in between crowds where you're shooting and where your opponent is, or who you're paired with, I guess, is the better word to use. And but my question is, you know, about if I wish I was, you know, it's not insulting the Tiger, but is that Tiger allure off? Yes, it's better when Tiger is playing. It's better for the game as a whole. Obviously, it's better for viewership, better for attendance. But there was that time when Tiger was on the course and players were enamored. I'm like in awe of Tiger. And I'm sure no one would probably admit it, but I'm sure that would mess with somebody's approach to how they played that certain round of golf if they were paired with Tiger. I don't think that's there anymore. That's not a knock on Tiger again, but again, every golfer will tell you he's better at the golf. The game is better. The tour is better. Everything's better when Tiger is playing. Speaking of Tiger, he is 4 over. He had a great start yesterday, but man, the concerns of the leg have come back, and it was quite evident yesterday. I think more so at this event than it was at the Masters. The fatigue obviously set in when he made the cut at Augusta, and come Saturday and Sunday he tapered off, and I think that, again, that was due to the leg. But today or yesterday, I think the big concern for me was there was grimacing, almost a limp. And I think it showed later in the back nine. Here's Tiger. He's talking about his great start, but his bad end, including he was asked about his shots out of the bunkers, which were not very good.
I drove it well, but my shots were not very good. I didn't get the ball very close. I got off to a great start and didn't keep it going. And I really didn't get myself any looks for birdie. You know, I was struggling trying to get the ball on the green. And I missed quite a few iron shots both ways, so it was a frustrating day.
Tiger, it looked like you tweaked something, looked like something was bothering you, and also bunker shots, ball came out hot. What happened?
Yeah, all the bunker shots came out hot. You know, that's not the sand is a lot faster than I thought it would be. Kind of been that way all week, especially if you get up in the areas where it's not raked. And I had a couple of those balls where it was in those areas. Is there a lot of sand here? Is there not? How should I play it? And when you dig in with your feet, you're not in those areas where there is a lot of, where it's raked. So I feel like there's the sand, you know, I'm guessing, and I guess wrong. My leg is not feeling as good as I would like it to be. We'll start the recovery process and get after it tomorrow.
In that famous recovery process, he has the team of doctors. He said it, a lot of ice baths, and he's not like, I mean, clearly this is a change in his life where he can't play an early round of golf and then go and relax. He has to continue that rehab, and he was asked about the leg and, you know, how it is affecting his game and how it affected his game yesterday.
Well, I just can't load it, and loading hurts, and pressing off it hurts, and walking hurts, and twisting hurts. So it's just golf. If I don't play that, if I don't do that, then I'm all right.
He described every old man's ailing problems on the golf course. If your leg hurts, if something hurts, and you can't swing the club like you want to because every time you swing it, it hurts, it's going to affect your drive, going to affect your chip, your short game, even your putting. And there's a lot of people who can sympathize. So hopefully he gets better. We'll see if he can get out of the rut. He is down, again, 4 over. Right now, as I last checked it, and I'll give it another look right now, the projected cut
line is at two overs. So Tiger with some work to do is going to have to make up some strokes here and get above that projected cut line and see if he can play tomorrow and Sunday. I know of a couple of people who would love that to happen, namely my boy Skinny right here, who is over there, who will be attending the PGA tomorrow. So that's going to be all. A lot of people are going to be looking at Tiger and what happens. Now, looking at tee times today, let's start with Tiger Woods. What time does he tee off? I believe he is paired again with Rory at 136 as I scroll on down the leaderboard here. And Tiger's not the only one who has struggled today, or yesterday, that is. It is 136. Brooks Koepka is currently sitting at 4 over. So is Dustin Johnson at 4 over. A couple of guys that everyone looks at the top of the leaderboard. So we'll see if they can get some work done. They have already teed off. Brooks Koepka making up one of those strokes, shooting one under today. And Johnson one over today. Already through five, I believe. Looking at other tee times, how about Abraham Answer? I was asked earlier in the week, who's a guy you just like to see because it would look cool? He was my guy because of his story of where he grew up, coming from Mexico, learning the game of golf south of the border, and then getting to a small college in Texas, finding his way to OU, having a successful career now in the pro circuit. And right now, he is sitting at 3 under. He tees off at 142. Taylor Gooch right there with them. He's at 2 under. He has started already today. He is shooting 1 under today through 8 holes. So Taylor Gooch has a chance to get up the leaderboard. I know we've had our man Jeremy, our faithful listener, has texted in, said he's one of the favorites in his mind. How about Ricky Fowler? He's currently playing right now. He shot even at last checked. I'm looking for him. He was above the cut line. Anxious to see him kind of make a move today. In fact, yes, through 5 holes, he is even. And 1 under for today, sitting at 27th. And Victor Hovland, he is even as well. He won't start till 125 today. He is 2 tied for 27th. So some guys of local interest to keep an eye on and see if they can make a move today towards the top, stay above that cut line. And right now they're looking like they're sitting in pretty good shape. But some big names are risking it, including Tiger Woods. I mentioned Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson. Looking for some other names. Sergio Garcia at 4 over. John Rahm, he's just right there. He is 3 over. He is even for today. Already played 4 holes. So some names we're keeping an eye on. We would hope to get above that cut line and make it for a great weekend full of top name players at Southern Hills. Riding solo today. Aaron is out today. He's over in Tulsa. And we'll get a full report about the PGA Championship, his experience over there at Southern Hills on Monday. Hey, you know why why the Elk City Tennis program is so good? I'll tell you why. Because of little things like this. The Elk City Summer Tennis Camp. It's little things like that that builds up a program. You get those young kids interested, and all of a sudden they're really good tennis players like we just saw this past spring for the Elk City Tennis Program high school tennis team. They have the tennis camp coming up. It is Monday, June 6th through Friday, June 10th. This is for grades 5 or age, I guess, 5 years old to 8-year-old students and 9-year-old to 12-year-old students. And where's it going to be held at? It's at the Elk City High School Tennis Courts, which is located north of Elk City Junior High, just east of Boone Street on Avenue B. And what is it? Okay, what is this? So you're going to get the instruction provided. You don't have a racket. That's not a problem. They'll provide their rackets for those that need them. Of course, they'll provide the balls too. And what's the cost? $75 per student. A t-shirt will be provided. You can, well, we have a, you know what? Call this number for all the info here. Call Gina at 903-312-7037. There we go. She could hook you up with the sign-up form and get you hooked up there. Again, this Elk City Summer Tennis Camp is happening Monday, June 6th through Friday, June 10th. For ages between 5 years old all the way up to 12-year-old. So you got a 5-year-old, you got a young one that's thinking, hey, I want to try that tennis thing out. This is a perfect opportunity to get them started. So sign up today. All right, the big word yesterday across the college football landscape, or really outside of the PGA, the second biggest story, I think, was Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. Now, it came out on Wednesday night. Nick Saban made some comments about the NIL, and he namely pointed out a couple of schools, actually three, but one, but we didn't really hear a response from Miami, but Texas A&M and Jackson State talking about how they, quote, paid players. They bought their recruits to come to their school using the NIL format. I don't think he ever said it was illegal or what they did was wrong, but he said that that's how they did it. Well, Jimbo Fisher took offense to that, did not like that. They quickly, as A&M quickly does, goes on control efforts to get ahead of this and to get in front of it. And, well, I just got the opening statement from Coach Jimbo Fisher himself, what he had to say. It was radio gold. I listened to it a few times, make sure he didn't cuss, but it sure sounded like he wanted to. He was not happy with his former coaching partner in Nick Saban.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing. We're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people who insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions? To the left, Olin.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
Okay. And
he showed you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when
to.
You got all the advantages?
Huh?
It's easy.
And I just wanted to. Just put it point blank. So no players, and you're saying that no players in
the
state.
There's no laws of anything we ever promised, done anything that goes against the laws of the state of Texas, and it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
Down front, Brent.
You know, y'all have both spoken so highly of each other in the past in terms of what y'all have done in your previous relationship. So how disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of a mentor type to you?
It's disappointing.
Well.
No, I wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things.
Yikes. Okay, a lot to unravel on that one. First off, I'm not sure Nick Saban said what they are doing was illegal. I don't know why he took such offense to that or saying that they're breaking laws. I don't think he ever said that without really diving into what Nick Saban said. And Nick Saban's very careful with his words, and that's what Aaron said yesterday. I don't think he ever said what he's doing was what anybody was doing was illegal, and he's not trying. And he did. Nick Saban did come out yesterday later and said, you know, it was wrong to single out schools like A&M and Jackson State, but he was very firm on his stance about the NIL and how that model is not sustainable, and that it needs to be tweaked and everything. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But when it becomes when it turns into the he said versus he said rhetoric, Jimbo needs to be careful there, because I'm not sure Nick Saban said what they're doing was illegal, but I think what he was really questioning was that, ethically, how does it look? But if it's fair and if it's not illegal, why not? I mean, why not? I mean, I was having a conversation yesterday about this situation, and this is where my opinion kind of changed about it. Was I said, man, if I'm Jimbo, I'm like, yeah. You know, I mean, when he got up there to have that press conference to, again, deny that he got the greatest recruiting class of all time without using any kind of an NIL promises, to deny it, saying that he got these all just purely by recruiting the guys to Texas A&M, why not just go up there and say, yeah, you're right, we did promise these guys NIL opportunity if they came to A&M. Because, man, wouldn't you think if he came out publicly on a national stage, which everybody yesterday was looking at him, waiting for his response, if he can use that opportunity to say, yeah, we have amazing donors. Look at our facilities. I mean, it's constantly, constantly being funded by these awesome donors in the Houston area. Yeah, we promised them some NIL opportunity, that they could have the opportunity that potentially to make this amount of money. Wouldn't that set you up in the future of recruiting to have players basically knocking down your door to come play at Texas A&M because you're making these promises? Now, the risk is, not fulfilling those promises, or there not being enough of the pie to go around. That's another problem to deal with. And then, boom, they just jump in the transfer portal and go somewhere else. But then someone said, well, that is kind of goes against, I think we're still seeing right now is these old school coaches like Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. He mentioned learning a lot from Bobby Bowden, who's one of the oldest of old school and one of the greatest coaches of all time. But they, I think, have an ego thing about them. He mentions narcissist. I mean, that being a narcissist, calling Nick Saban a narcissist. Yeah, there's a little bit of that in every head coach, but especially in the college level, because if they can go and go, yeah, I can go into a kid's house and I can recruit them to my university. That's a personal win for that coach. And I think what Jimbo was taking so much offense was, he is adamant saying, I've recruited the best class in the history of college football without using NIL, and so that's why he was on the defense. So I it's an ego thing, saying I did it without that. I can get these guys here to A&M without the promise of making money on top of money on top of money. Now, saying that, this interesting stat was sent to me. Now, this is where I think Jimbo might be a little bit of a liar. When Jimbo got to A&M, his first recruiting class, he had 0 5 stars. That was in 2018. 2019, he had 2 5 star recruits. 2020, 2 5 star recruits. 2021, 1 5 star guy. Okay. Now, after that, the NIL is introduced. The first wave of recruiting classes was just this recent one. And now we know, 7 5 stars, the highest rated class of all time. Come on, man. Come on, Jimbo. Come on. If it walks like a duck, come on. It's pretty obvious that these guys were maybe not Jimbo. Maybe I'm not seeing something here. Maybe Jimbo wasn't the guy that made these NIL promises. And he has no idea. Maybe he is he's knowingly turning a blind eye. Go, okay, I still have that pride. I still want to recruit these guys here without the promise of money. But behind them, you got the big time boosters, the big time oil barons from Houston are going to these recruits or making contacts with these recruits. And maybe that is where the illegal stuff comes in. Saying, you come to A&M, you can be a representative of this car dealership I have invested in, and I could pay you. We can funnel you some money. Legally. Now, I don't know what the legal, and I'll plead ignorance on this one. I don't know. Can boosters contact recruits? That seems like a big no-no. But there's ways around it. So I think both coaches are right and both coaches are wrong, but I think that ultimately where Nick Saban is right, the NIL, the model, needs to change. Yesterday in his apology, I guess, his statement, he did stay firm on his opinion about the NIL, and I agree with it. It's gotten completely out of control and not a sustainable model. This is Nick Saban I'm quoting here. It's to the point where you've got these attorneys, agents, calling collectives and saying, pay my player $100,000 a year, and then they want a piece of that. They all want to cut. And that is the dirty side of the NIL. You're going to have some people like that. You're going to see agents start to creep into this, attorneys and others, and they want a piece of the pie. They're going to have their hand in the till. And that's where I have a problem. I think the NIL is designed to help the kid, and I have no problem with it. You know, that's been the great debate of paying players. They get a scholarship and all this stuff. You know, but some players, they come from some really bad situations. And if this could help out families, I got no problem with that. But when it comes to, you know, these big-time players, the Caleb Williams of the world, and, you know, he's going to L.A., and how many people are in his party that are going to be getting a cut of this? There needs to be more of a more regulation to this NIL, but the fear is cat's out of the bag. Toothpaste is out of the tube. Can't put it back in. And the Pandora's box has been open. How do you contain it? We're nowhere near knowing how this is going to work at the end of the day. Staying with college football. Now, when this happened, my first question was, when does A&M and Alabama play? So, you know, looked it up. And I again, talking to a buddy, and he sent me a schedule for October 8th, by the way. That's the day. That day sound familiar, OU and Texas fans? Yeah, that's right, Red River rivalry. So there's two big games right there, Texas A&M at Alabama. Of course, Alabama was upset at A&M last year. So, and then all this is going to happen. Man, Jimbo's got to go in to Tuscaloosa. Holy moly. Of course, OU, Texas. How about this one? Auburn at Georgia. Defending champs, Auburn, they're always a tough out. Ohio State is at Michigan State. Ha, gotcha. North Carolina at Miami. Notre Dame is at BYU. It's never easy to win at BYU at Provo. Utah at UCLA. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 7 marquee games right there. How about Texas Tech at OSU? Those are always fun matchups. That's on October 8th alone. Make plans to not make plans on that day. Stay on your couch. Get multiple TVs. You're going to need them for October 8th. It's going to be awesome, awesome day of college football for mainly the stuff that's not happening on the field with the Texas A&M and Alabama stuff. What's OU and Texas going to look like come that time? Be great if they're undefeated. Texas Tech, OSU, Texas Tech under new leadership. They had a nice recruiting class. OSU looking to continue last season's success. I mean, there's a lot of storylines right there alone. So cannot wait to see what happens on October 8th, especially with that marquee. It's probably the first time in a very, very long time I'm almost more interested in a game outside of Oklahoma, Texas on that particular day. And please, please, don't schedule them at the same time, college football gods. Let's have one game at one time followed by the other. That would be the perfect setup. Quick look at the PGA Championship leaderboard. Not much change. Rory, of course, not. Rory McIlroy's still leading 5-under. Holding on to the top spot. He'll tee off at 1:36 our time today. Justin Thomas right behind him, 4-under, along with Joaquin Niemann, Will Zalatoris at 4-under. And both Thomas and Neiman already teed off. Thomas playing through seven holes, shooting one under today. Neiman, two under today. That's tied with a couple more guys, the best of the day so far. So keep an eye on Joaquin Neiman. So he's moved up a few spots to take that second spot, and he is birdie two of his first three holes. We'll keep an eye on that. College baseball last night. OU got a big win on the road in Lubbock, taking down Texas Tech 13-8. This is after after Texas Tech was on that high of sweeping Oklahoma State and putting themselves in good position in the Big 12 standings. OU, man, they're either hot or they're not when they score. Just, you know, keep an eye on them on their the way they score runs. Again, putting up 13 last night. They were coming off a disappointing outing at Wichita State where they were unable to score. It's like they didn't even show up. They lost 18-0 in that non-conference matchup, and that was after winning a series versus West Virginia before that. And in that series win, they put up 15, 8, and 17 runs. And in their wins, you look at it, they have the potential of putting up a lot of runs. TCU, they won a series against the Big 12 leading TCU Horned Frogs. In that series, they put up 11 runs in a win. Also, 9 or 7 runs in a loss. It's almost you have to outscore OU at times. 22 runs against Kansas State at one point. 14 runs against them. 24 runs against Kansas. 15 runs against Kansas in that sweeping series. So OU, man, you just keep an eye on their bats. They can really come alive at the right time of the year. Now on the other side of things, OSU, what's going on? They are currently on a 1-2-3-4-5 game losing streak after being swept by Texas Tech. Before that, lost at Dallas Baptist, and then they lost their opening series game in Waco against Baylor last night, 13-11 in walk-off fashion. So they need a win in a bad way to get to close out the season before they get to the Big 12 tournament down in Arlington. And right now, the seeding for that, based on the standings, man, Oklahoma State has fallen to fourth place, TCU leading, followed by Texas Tech, OU, then OSU, Texas, West Virginia, Kansas State, Baylor, and Kansas. Not all teams go to the Big 12 tournament. But, man, hopefully OSU can get out of this little slump that they're in, which is basically at the wrong time of the year. You want to be playing your best baseball as you wrap up this season, and we know that they're capable of doing that, especially with their bullpen and their pitching. So we'll see what happens with the Oklahoma State Cowboys as they wrap up this season. Looking at games today, OU, they will play game two against Texas Tech at 6:30 tonight. They'll wrap up that series and their regular season on Saturday at 2 o'clock. OSU, they play at 6:30 as well in Waco. They'll play at 3 o'clock on Saturday and wrap up the season, the regular season in Waco. And we'll see, we'll have a field set for the Big 12 Championship in Arlington as soon as Saturday night. And we'll keep an eye on that. Now, speaking of playoffs, Women's College World Series playoffs, their softball playoffs, they will start tonight, or today, really, throughout the country. OU and OSU both hosting regionals. In the Norman Regional, Texas A&M versus Minnesota today at 4 o'clock, followed by number one OU and Prairie View A&M at 6:30. The winners of both those games will play at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And if the winner of that game will play at 6 o'clock, you know, I'm alluding to OU. They're looking in pretty good position right there. But Jordy Ball is still questionable. The outstanding freshman pitcher, Patty Gasso, said she's still kind of day-to-day. She kind of had an arm strain and was not able to go in the Big 12 championship game. And some would say that might have cost OU. So hopefully she can get back into the circle. We know what Jocelyn Allo and the rest of the OU bats can do. But if they calm down a little bit and there's no defense or no OU pitching behind them, that could be a crack in the armor there. So we'll see what happens in Norman, and hopefully Jordy Ball can get back at it and be at 100% for OU's title defense. Now over in Stillwater, let me find that region for you. I have to kind of shuffle through all of them here. Nebraska and North Texas will start things off at 5 o'clock today, followed by Oklahoma State and Fordham. around 7:30. And by the way, these are all on ESPN Plus, which me and Aaron highly recommend, by the way, ESPN Plus. Winner of that one will play at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then if they get to the championship game on Sunday, they'll play at 3 o'clock. So hopefully by the end of Sunday afternoon, late Sunday afternoon, we'll have a couple of teams from the state in the Women's College World Series in both OU and OSU. Are they on their way to a rematch in the World College or the Women's College World Series? Certainly hope so. By look at the bracket, it looks like that won't happen or wouldn't be able to happen unless it wasn't a championship series, which would be just awesome. Some obstacles. I'm going to attempt to find that bracket. But some obstacles for OSU, one of which, namely, is Florida State, a team I think they played earlier in the year. And lost to them, but I believe it was in Tuscaloosa. So that is probably a series that they want to get see a rematch in if you're OSU. I'm trying to find this. I'm trying to ramble and then find that bracket for you, seeing where teams could or some other possible matchups could be in the College World Series. Well, I found it, and it won't open. There we go. Got to give it time. Okay. Mentioned Oklahoma hosting the region. We mentioned that. And looking at if they advance into the Super Regional. See, I did it again. I am so confused. It's the Regionals, then the Super Regionals, then the Women's College World Series. There we go. So Super Regional opponent could be UCF, Villanova, South Dakota State, or Michigan. Of course, more than likely would happen in Norman next weekend. And then OSU looks like they could possibly get Clemson, Auburn, Louisiana, or UNCW. I believe that's a North Carolina school right there. And based on the seeding, OSU could be hosting a Super Regional as well. More than likely against Clemson, OU more than likely against UCF, Central Florida, which is a best-of-three series, and that puts them in to the Women's College World Series. And based on the seeding, if they stick with it, and I think they do, again, Oklahoma State could see Florida State, maybe Missouri, and OU could see the likes of Arizona State, Northwestern, and other teams, seeded teams that are hosting regions, by the way, include UCLA, Duke, Washington, Arkansas, mentioned Florida State and Missouri and Clemson, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, and Virginia Tech. So a lot of the usual suspects for some. Virginia Tech's really had a nice year this year. And so I expect a lot of the usual suspects in Oklahoma City on early June. Real quick, I want to give some shout-outs to some local high school baseball players making the OBCA All-State team and All-Star team, starting with the Small West. And I'm reading some fine print here, so bear with me. We'll start over in Granite, Jace Berry. And, Jace Berry, the only Granite Panther on the team. Congratulations to him. And Dalton Williams from Canute, Drake Page from Leedy, Colt Randall from Canute, Brett Griffith from Rapo Butler, Kale Nelson from Visai, Carson Props from Hydro Weekly, and Quincy Hicks from Lakeba Sickles. This is the 2022 OBCA All-State Team Small West. And the All-Star Team, and there's a host of players, including Dalton Williams of Canute and Colt Randall, Ryan Carlisle from Arapahoe Butler. Make sure we don't miss Colby Maddox from Canute, from Thomas Gunner Oaks. I'm missing some. I apologize. Nate Jennings from Visai. Kale Nelson from Visai. I think that's a good rundown of it right there. Also on the Class B West All-Star Team, mentioned Drake Page from Leedy, Jace Berry from Granite, Jack Wooten from Sentinel. That means I got to go. Brent Ivy from Hammond. Jack Puffenbarger from Leedy, Jackson Spikes from Hammond, Peyton Goodall from Leedy. Congratulations to all the great baseball players on that list. Gotta go, guys. Thanks for hanging out with me. Aaron will be back with us on Monday. We'll get a full rundown of the PGA Championship, his experience at Southern Hills. Keep it right here. More Sports Animal coming up.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.